it's my it's a blessing and privilege to introduce to you us this morning William Kiptu. It's interesting how you become friends with somebody. First, it was William Kiptu was a name presented to me from Brian in an email saying it would be a great honor if my colleague and friend William could come and preach at my home church. And then I was able to actually connect with William in email and then WhatsApp. And then finally this week, I got to meet him over at MCC Akron, and he is here today. And it's the blessing that we have of God gives us friends. And a friend of Brian and Krista is a friend of ours. William has served with the Mennonite Central Committee since 2014. He is the peace-building coordinator, and he's worked in faith-based peace-building around the world, in the Philippines and Zambia, I believe, in Tanzania. And we are really blessed and privileged to have him here. And when I told him we were in a series on Ephesians, he began praying and searching the book of Ephesians and praying about what God would have for him to share. And he came to Ephesians 4, unity in the body of Christ. He said, would that be something will be applicable to you all? And I said, you better believe it. So let's pray for William. Lord God, we thank you for William. We thank you for his wife, Jane. And we thank you for their three precious children, 21, 17, and 15, and we pray your blessing on them today. And we pray for Brian and Krista and Brandon and Lucinda. Thank you for the friendship that you have given them with William. And we just pray your blessing on William as he shares your word with us today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. By the way, William is from the western part of Kenya, Eldoret, where it's very lush and green, and it rains a lot, doesn't it? So he feels right at home.
Thank you so much, Tom, for the introduction and for giving me that opportunity to come and share the Word of God with you and the church here at, what's the name of this place again? It's a difficult name for me to pronounce. But I really appreciate the invitation and for the opportunity to be here. As my name is William, as Pastor Thomas said, I come from Western Kenya, which is like 6 hours from Nairobi, the capital city where Brian and Krista are serving. Brian and Krista are my colleagues at MCC Nairobi, and we really appreciate that opportunity to be able to serve with them. They are really kind people and very hospitable. They've been able to visit my home, and we have had several occasions where we've been able to meet and interact with him and his family. So I'm really grateful when he said that I should be able to come and visit his home church. I gladly accepted and said, yeah, I'd be interested to come and meet members of his church. So I'm really happy to be here today and to share the word of God with you. I have a family of my wife and I have three children, 21, 17, and 15, as Thomas said. And we really thank God for the gift of family. We grew up in Eldoret, which is a farming community, just like here. So I'm really interested in the farms and looking around. We keep cattle and chicken in our farm. That's where I grew up and I was raised up. I went to school there. I fellowship in the Reformed Church of East Africa, which is kind of very close to Presbyterian. That's where my parents was raised up there and went to church, and I was raised up in that. I work for MCC in the peace building sector, focusing on partners who are in Nairobi and in Kisumu. So those partners are focusing on issues of peace clubs in schools, and even working with communities who are divided by conflicts and experiencing traumas. Quite recently, we had a project that we were focusing on victims of people who were affected by terrorism quite recently in Nairobi. Maybe most of you might have heard the terrorism that happened in Nairobi. So we've been able to support through MCC to give them some skills and knowledge about how they can be able to overcome their traumas and suffering as a result of that. So that's briefly about my work and my family and what I do in Kenya. Krista sent me out with the greetings, Christian and Brian, and I would like to deliver their message. So he gave me a letter to read to the church, and I'm going to read and then show you the slides. So the letter from Brian and Krista says, "Dear friends, greetings from Nairobi, Kenya. We are grateful for the opportunity to send greetings and say thank you for the ways you have been supporting us as we serve with the Mennonite Central Committee. We appreciate your prayers, letters, financial gifts, visits by Meg and Faye, my coin scouts collection, and quilters." I can't pronounce this. Quilters? Attic? Yes. "Efforts. So your support is allowing us to be an extension of you as we share God's love and compassion here in Kenya." So that's briefly the message from Krista and Brian. And here are some of the photos that they shared. So this is my family. I was not able to get a photo of myself. So my wife and three kids, Ryle, Daisy, and Elias. We were out in a vacation, in a Christmas. So that's my family. The next slide. Okay, so this is Krista and Brian's family, and the two little kids in Nairobi. And here is what they are doing with communities in farming, because they are working in conservation agriculture practice, so they are out with the communities here. And then here is another photo with Krista, who is working on water and sanitation and hygiene practices in schools. So this is one of the schools that Krista is working in. It's called Madari, which is a very poor neighborhood in Nairobi. And Krista is helping out with the kids and in the schools to make sure that the water that they are using is safe and clean. So this is another picture of Lucinda, who is helping up with the hand washing in a place called Mbooni, which is in Kajiado County. So hand washing is really a practice that we're trying to promote in Kenya so that to prevent diseases. And we are using this kind of technology to promote that. And this is Krista and Brian and their family out in the looking at animals. So he said to me that he gave out this photo because he wanted to make sure that you know that you can't go to Africa without seeing the animals. So that's a picture of giraffe. And here is our team, the MCC team in Nairobi. So we are having a meeting. So that's the team that Brian and Chris are serving with in Nairobi. So thank you so much for the opportunity, for allowing us to serve with Krista, and all your support that we are receiving from the church here that is enabling us to be able to do the work, the kind of work that we are doing. I would like us to turn to this word of God today. When Pastor Tom asked me to come and share in his church, I was trying to ask myself, what would be a relevant message to be able to share with you today? And when he mentioned that this month you're focusing on the book of Ephesians, I went to the book of Ephesians and then tried to look at the themes that might be relevant to share with you, and something that I can be able to talk a little bit to connect with my work, and also being aware that today is a Mother's Day. Then I came up with this theme of Ephesians 4. We talks about the unity in the church. And before I proceed, I would like to wish all the mothers of the church happy Mother's Day. So the book of Ephesians, as the scriptures have been read to us, talks about many themes. And chapter 4 of the book, Paul is talking to us about the theme of unity in the church. And there are quite a number of others. I think in chapter 3, Paul was focusing, giving some instructions to the Christians in Ephesians and the Jews about other themes. And when we come to chapter 4, Paul focuses his themes on what the church really needed at that particular time. And I suspect that there could be a lot of divisions that maybe the church was going through, because the Church of Ephesians was one of the churches that were really diverse in terms of the people who were worshiping or coming, who had come together at that particular time. And I think the theme of the unity within the church became a bit relevant in that to be able to bring together the many diverse views and people who are worshiping together in the Church of Ephesians. So chapter 1, verses 1 to 2 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech or beg you or plead you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. So here there's a theme that comes into mind. Paul talks about lowliness. And when he looks at the word lowliness, it talks about, or being low, it talks about issues of humility, being humble with one another. Humility is something that Paul talks about in that text. And Romans chapter 12, verse 3, talks about that, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not only think of yourselves more than you ought to think about others, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one as a measure of faith. So again, we see here Paul talking about the issue of humility, counting yourselves as not worthy, but looking at the welfare of others, not necessarily looking at yourself as people who are much worthy than others. And I think in Africa, we tend to think a lot about community. We think about community, so that even in our own communications, we tend to think about we. So it's so much about community, as in different from what the Western world, for example, focuses on the individual progress. And when you think about the church as a community of Christ, a community of God, we would like to kind of project that to a kind of a community where there are members of many faiths, members that are coming together, so that it's no longer me within the church, but it is we within the church. So it's a question of a community. And also Paul talks about gentleness. And when you think about gentleness, we talk about the power and under control, or meekness, bearing with one another in love. So a question again about issues of love, and talking about in a community like this, so love is really very important. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So the word endeavoring here means, it indicates that you have to put an effort, because unity is not something that you can be able to achieve just by saying or by words. It means that we have to work for unity. And when I think about my work as a peace building coordinator, we work a lot with people and communities and individuals who are affected by issues of conflicts. They are affected by divisions that are brought about by conflicts. And those kind of divisions separate people. They make people not have one mind. And so when you think about issues of bringing people together and bringing unity together, it really means that you have to put a lot of effort in that. Even within the church, there are so many divisions, particularly that the church is confronted with. I don't know about here, but in Kenya, it is very fashionable nowadays, like, to have a church today, and within 1 or 2 years, then you hear about divisions within the church. People divide in the church, they go out there and even form their own churches. So there are quite a lot of divisions that are brought in by issues within the church. And unity here means that it is something that we have to work towards achieving it. It's something that it's not just that we can just pray about it and then achieve unity. It means that we have to put some level of effort to be able to achieve unity. And thinking about unity, it's different from uniformity. You know, we don't have to be all homogeneous or think the same way or being together. It means like accepting to have divergent views, accepting to be different, but in love, so that even within a community of Christians, we can still be different, we can still have different point of views, but we are together, we are united in a vision, in a cause. So it doesn't really mean that we have to be uniform, but it means that we have to be united in mind and in spirit. And that's what Paul is emphasizing here, that it is important for the church to be united, united in the vision that we carry as a church, in our mission as a church, to be able to evangelize to people and nations who really need our love. And when I think about the work, for example, of MCC, that we are going out there showing love to those people who need our love, providing support and solidarity, showing solidarity to humanity, to people who require that kind of support. And then I think about participating together in bringing the people of God together. Because it's not a matter of making everyone look like us, but it's a question of providing that solidarity and love, showing love to people who need our love. Yesterday we went out to New York City, and we went out to a place called Times Square. Yeah, Times Square. And there were people, there was somebody there who was caught my attention, because there was somebody who had written something here, and he said, "Free hugs." Some free hugs. So he was giving out, like, "Do you need a free hug?" And it kept me thinking about, why would somebody be ready there to offer free hugs to someone? Because it means that there is someone out there who is so lonely that needs someone to show them love, and just an action that you are loved. Somebody needs you, or somebody cares for you out there. And that also tells you how people in the world are isolated. They are living within their own context. They are living, even if they are in a place like New York City, which is full of people, but they are still isolated. They still need somebody to reach out to them. And that's an act of love that Paul talks about here. That when we love, we work to reach out to other people, then it's actually an act of love. It is a way of ministering to people who need our love. And actions of love are actions that provide that kind of solidarity and unity. I read a story, I think a few days ago, about an animal called tortoise. Is it tortoise? Or yes, the one that moves very slowly. That there. So there was a story of a tortoise that is told to children, the kids here in America, and I think it's quite different from the story that I had back when I was growing up in Africa. Because the story of tortoise here says that there was a tortoise was going to compete with hare or a rabbit. And when they reached out to a day that they were going to compete, I think the hare went out, ran faster, and then at some point, having noticed that he had gone so fast and the tortoise were just coming slowly, he went out to sleep, and then the tortoise just came out and went. And by the time the hare woke up, the tortoise already finished the race. I think that's the version that you have here. But the version that I had in Africa is that it's almost the same story that the hare and the tortoise were going to compete. And so before the competition day, the hare went out there to tortoise and trying to humiliate him that, you see, you can't compete with me because your pace is so slow. You can't be able to run like me. And so he was full of himself and full of pride. And that night, the tortoise went out to his family members and say, well, here is we are having a competition with the hare, and the hare has really come out to mock me and to humiliate me that I cannot be able to compete with him because of his gifts. So what I want you to do tonight is that I want you to come out so that you can help me win this race. And so he lined up the members of his family, one here at the start, another one in between there. So there were so many of them on the road, and then one towards the end. So when the race started, so the hare just went and noticed that he had left the tortoise there. So he was very proud and then moving forward very fast. But when he reached like a mile, then there was another tortoise in front of him. So he's like, oh, you have already overtaken me. So he increased his speed. And then he noticed that he had left the tortoise. Then another mile again, there was another tortoise going. And then again, he overtook him and then went. Another mile again, there was another tortoise. So by the time they reached the end, then he realized that there was a tortoise which was just completing the race, and then he was crowned that he was able to compete and with the hare, and the tortoise won the race. So that's the kind of the story I had back in Africa. And what this tells us is that so the victory was given to the tortoise who won. And so when he was asked by the person who was organizing that to give a speech, he said, my victory was a triumph of unity and cooperation because we won, because we worked together to win the race. Like members of his family really worked together. And he was asked, why do you keep saying we, using the word we? The organizer said, and then he said, every member of my family and every one of my friends gave me that support, so that we can be able to win, because he needed the support of every member of the family and friends. And it could look like it was a story of deception, because he won because of deception. But what this actually teaches us is that even though the tortoise was won the race and used that, then the attitude of the heir of the hare was that of individualism. He was overconfident about himself. But the tortoise was wise. He was having that sense of community, and he wanted to work with other fellows. And this is really important when we think about a community, where we are working within a community, that when people cooperate and work together, we can be able to overcome so many challenges that faces us and obstacles, and we can be able to achieve much more when we cooperate and work together. And this is the kind of message that I would also want to encourage the church, that even though we are really confronted with so many challenges of divisions of ideas, division and challenges that even affecting communities like our own communities maybe here, in the United States. I don't know much about what kind of challenges that the churches here are facing, but I know back in Africa we are facing not so much about issues of racism, but we are also facing divisions within the churches, ethnic divisions, where tribalism has really penetrated even in churches, that really tend to divide people, tend to separate people and communities. And people get divided because of this. This is a member of this community. They are members of these tribes. Pastors are not even able to come together because the I think we are members of this tribe and these tribes. Those are the kind of divisions that even comes to the churches. And when we confront issues like that and be able to bring unity so that the world can be able to see the church as an example, as a place of example, where people are working together, communities are working together, people of different races, people of different tribes are working together for the purpose of one unity, giving support and solidarity to people who need their help, then we can be able to serve as really good disciples of Christ, where the church is taking lead in providing that kind of leadership. Then the church can be able to be a place of solace, a place of healing, where people can run to the church and know that, well, I'm a member of this church and I can be able to get support and healing when Christians extend their service and support to us. So this morning, I am so excited to share the word of God with you and say that may God bless you even for the kind of support that you're providing or giving to communities and people out in Africa there. What you've been able to give and to show through the work of MCC is really changing the lives of many people. People are blessed because of the kind of support that you're providing. So may God bless you so much. May God see you through your work and continue to bless you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to hear your word. Thank you for each one of us today. We thank you for the gift of life that you've showed us. Thank you for your word and for your encouragement. We thank you for our brothers and sisters here for being a blessing to the many families and many people out there who have benefited from their work. And we pray that, God, you will be able to help us to be one and to show love and unity in your church, even in the midst of divisions. That is so prevalent in our community and societies today. We thank you because your word speaks to us, and we pray that, God, you will be able to make your word grow in us and that we may be examples to the world. Thank you. We bless your name, for we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.